Hello and welcome to episode 399 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is March 4th, 2024. I am Rollo McFlugel and with me is my co-host Slappy Jones. Show notes page for this episode is mcflugel.com/399. Flyers have the 1-0 lead on the St. Louis Blues.
Blues?
Yep. Number one power or penalty kill in the league.
In the world.
In the world. Doing all right. Do you think they make some? Yeah, you think they make some moves during the trade deadline?
I don't know. I don't follow any of that stuff. I hope they do. I don't know who I want them to move though. Is there rumors? I don't follow the news anymore.
Yeah, I mean Nick Seeler and Sean Walker are both names.
Yeah.
And good. I mean, kind of a surprise. Defensive pair that's been playing really well. I think both of them are free agents after the year, and I think Seeler will necessarily have I think it's Seeler they're kind of having trouble coming to an extension with, so it's kind of, I guess, one of those things. If they're on the same page, they can get some value for him this year, and they have a lot of obviously he's been important, but they're actually pretty have a decent amount of depth on defense. But I don't know how long Drysdale and Ristolainer are supposed to be out, though, so that might change some things. And Scott Laughton's on the rumor mill, too.
Well,
I think he's one of the, you know, kind of one of the better forwards available.
I'd be kind of sad to see him go, but unless they got something better for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a seller's market. So he could probably fetch a pretty good bit. It's funny. They look like they're going to make the playoffs. And they're like, well, they might be selling some players just because they're kind of overachieving this year. And, you know, they're not trying to mortgage the future.
Some of these guys.
Yeah. And, you know, the plan was to take a couple years to be a contender. And, you know, just because you're good this year doesn't mean you want to kind of go all in for a run when you know that, you know, this isn't the point yet of the rebuilding process. Pretty not bad, though, having it. Hey, we're going to rebuild this team, and the first year of the rebuild, you still make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So were you a guy that, like, you know, you would rather just see him lose and get a high pick, or would you rather see him, like, make a playoff run? Or just make the playoffs?
You win the game.
Thank you. I hate that when people, especially in the beginning of the year, some people were complaining, the Flyers are winning too much. Stop it. Why would you want to watch losses?
Because I don't know. I always find that funny. I don't know. As a coach, a player, or just being part of the organization.
Or just watching it.
or watching it, for that matter. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. I think it's like video game stuff.
Yeah.
Play video games, you think you know how to be a GM.
Or just Penguins fans things.
Yeah, it could be Penguins fans. They're always a little on the lower end of the IQ scale, right?
And they're just losers, so they root for losing.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, that's really the best explanation.
Yeah, it's been a long time since they won a cup.
Yeah, pathetic.
Yep.
You know what else is pathetic?
Cowboys and their fans.
That too. Do you consider yourself an influencer?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
We're big time. I mean, this podcast is huge. I would say, I mean, you tell me, if you're a household name everywhere on the planet, or would you call yourself an influencer?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So there's that.
Okay.
Well, to be serious, no, I'm not an influencer. As I understand an influencer, is what I understand an influencer to be is basically someone who makes a living by posting on social media or something.
Yeah, so is that like kind of something that you would take honor in doing, or like, you know, desire such a living?
I mean, it's not for me.
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily, I mean, I guess it depends on what you're doing. Like, for example, if I could, I don't want to downplay what they do. I'm sure there's a lot of work, a lot of planning, a lot of production goes into these things. But if I could sell doing that instead of going to work for 8 to 10 to 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily terrible to do that or whatever, but I certainly don't have a desire or the willpower or any plans of being an influencer.
Okay. Well, I say this because just a very cringy thing is happening on Twitter, of course. Surprise.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Well, it's funny. I don't want to have this be an immigration episode, because that's been all the rage with everything. And I finally wrote a critique of the Dave Smith kind of framework for how he thinks the government should manage the borders. Kind of, he gave the example in the Human Action podcast with Bob Murphy, that Gramercy Park thing, which, yeah, I mean, you can go on McFluid.com and read it if you want. It's first article that's been written in 18,000 years. It was nice, though. It was fun. I used to like doing that, where you read something, you're like, wow, I feel inspired to write something, and the words just flow. That was nice. I wasn't planning on doing it that day, and I just got home and sat in front of the computer and went. I should get back into that more. But no, it's funny because there's a lot of people now on Twitter kind of not necessarily rage quitting libertarianism, but making a big stink about, oh, if this is what libertarians believe about how the border should be run, I don't know if I'm going to be a libertarian. And there's this guy, Mark Lobliner, I assume that's how you pronounce his name, who had a tweet yesterday that said, libertarians lost me on the immigration issue.
Who did this? And
Mark Lobliner.
Okay. Not familiar.
Yeah, neither was I. And so I replied goodbye, and kind of a lot of people had very similar replies to him, and his reply to me, which was the response he gave to a lot of people, is, yeah, getting rid of influencers is a good idea, losers. And it's like, I never heard of you. Not that I have to be aware of every single like libertarian personality out there, but like, to refer to yourself as in like, I'm an influencer and therefore, you know, you owe me respect because I go on the internet and talk about stuff and influence people. It's really cringy. And then it's funny because, you know, you have all these other people kind of coming to his aid and saying like, oh, you see, this is the problem with the you know, these crazy, you know, positions on the borders of libertarians. You're scaring guys away like Mark. And I kind of just did a quick search. And I think it was like 2020. He rage quit the LP. I don't know if it was also rage quitting libertarianism or something over Gary Johnson. It's like, Okay. Don't worry. I think Mark's going to be back after he, you know, when he finishes his temper tantrum here. But it's just funny because it's this mindset that people have about things. Like, what I don't understand what people are expecting or thinking. Like, libertarianism, it's a philosophy. It's based on praxeology, really. It's based on, you know, having some principles. And it's not a consensus thing. Like, we don't, what libertarianism isn't just a bunch of what a bunch of libertarians agree it is. But it seems like that's not really that well understood by a lot of people. It's they want libertarianism to be whatever preferences they have. And, you know, if it falls short of that, then they're like, I can't believe this. This is terrible. I'm out. And they want to, you know, take their ball away and go play somewhere else, which is fine. But it's just, it's weird because, I mean, I don't expect every single person that's like into libertarianism to immediately just accept and agree with every single thing. And there are certainly things that libertarians disagree on, the borders being one of them. So it shouldn't be like this pearl-clutching thing of, oh, I'm out of this. Half the people. Well,
here's what I don't. I don't mean to cut you off, but it's like, all right, let's say I just quit. I just go out and say I'm not libertarian anymore. Okay. Like, does that mean I changed my mind on everything?
Yeah. I don't know.
If you thought these were all good ideas, like generally speaking, you know, a free market, free associate, whatever. You thought that was a good idea. And then you're like, well, now you have these people who want a border or these people who say open borders. I quit. Like, are you now what did you just cash in all everything you thought or like, how does that work? What do you mean you're quitting? You're out. Like, are you, you're no longer libertarian or I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know if these people, when they mean it, that they mean that they're like out of the Libertarian Party and that's what they're that's what libertarianism is.
Like that would
is.
Make sense. Like I'm stopping with contributing or whatever or changing my affiliation. I guess that would make sense.
Speaking of that, it was really funny. There was someone also made a tweet saying that they're going to, if open borders and stuff is what the, what it means to be a member of the Libertarian Party, then I can't be a member of that. And Ace screenshotted the part in the platform about how, you know, one of the platforms of libertarianism is that the government shouldn't control who goes where, and you need the free flow of people and goods to have a free market. I was like, dude, like it's there. It's part of the platform.
Yeah. And that's why, like, I don't know. I just don't. Like, I think it's funny if Dave Smith et al. Are saying it's not libertarian to take an open, and then, you know, how do they defining open borders and all that? But like, it's kind of hard to say that's not the libertarian position when it is the libertarian position.
Yeah, what should the government
do? You know what I mean?
Like, nothing.
I get making a case. Like, you can say, like, yes, I'm a libertarian and in a perfect world, but I listened to a little bit of that show. I didn't hear the whole thing, but he was like second best. Like, obviously, ideally, it would all be private and there would be no government, but that's not the world we live in. So we have to go to say, so, okay. I mean, like, then there's room to disagree.
Sure.
But I can be okay. Like, I don't know. I can't think of anything that I want the government to do, but I could conceivably be like, yeah, you know, I don't want them teaching porn in grade school. Right. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Ideally, there would be no public schools. There is. My kids don't go to them, but I don't think it's healthy for kids. I wouldn't be screaming and yelling if they made a law to say no porn in schools.
Right.
Maybe I'm not making sense.
No, but, it does.
But, like, you know what I mean? Like, I get the second option kind of thing, but it's just weird if you want to argue that the other position isn't libertarian. That's where I don't get it. Like, if you're like, look, guys, I understand we all want no government. Like, we're all on the same page there. We're on the same team. Here's the deal. In the short run, this and this. And you can still disagree, but at least it's more. But when you're like, you're not libertarian because you don't want the government to control the border.
Actually, we're communists.
We're commies. Yeah, we're worse than communists. Like, that's a little bit of a stretch.
Well, it's funny because I don't like, I'm not sitting here and going like, Dave Smith isn't a libertarian.
I'm not accusing you of that.
Yeah, I know. My reaction is just like, I just think Dave Smith is wrong on this particular topic. You know,
I say I'm a Dave Smith fan. I haven't listened to him in a long time. I like Dave Smith, Chad, at least what I remember of Dave Smith. I really like him. I can disagree with him on certain things. I did see him tweet like the libertarian position is for closed board or whatever government. I don't know what he even said, but he said that. And that just doesn't like, I think at best you would have to say there's some disagreement and discussion. I think you could say the open borders position is the libertarian position. I don't see how you could say government controlling the borders is the libertarian position.
Right.
I don't know if any of that made sense.
No, it does. It's just such a difficult conversation to have with because people somehow construe saying, hey, I don't think that the government should manage where people move means, well, that actually is the government doing something. It's like, what? Just you can't even have a conversation. And that's why Giacomo Zucco tweeted some stuff about it, and he was calling it, I think, travel socialism. Mm-hmm. Which is great.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like you talk about, I've said it before. I don't want like busloads of people with no homes to be dumped off outside on my street.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say it happened. What's the response? Like, probably shouldn't shoot them.
That's probably not a good idea.
Breaking into my house and attacking or like threatening, you know, then maybe mm-hmm. I could shoot them.
Perhaps.
Yeah, and maybe not, but you know.
Probably.
It's you can make a case, sure. I don't know what you do if they're just camping in the street. Like, I don't know. You know. Do I want my kids playing outside with like people pitching tents in the middle of the street on the sidewalk?
Well, I think no. There's a case to be made that in the article from the anarchitecture guys about like easements and previous uses that mm-hmm. you know we kind of the default position that people always say is well everything should be privatized. Yes. But that does not mean that every single thing has one explicit owner. Mm-hmm. All land around the world is not going to have like individual owners. There's going to be a lot of places where it's kind of. So that.
Go ahead.
No, there's going to be a lot of places or a lot of, you know, tracts of land and stuff where it's just going to kind of be. Generally owned by the community.
Societies, communities, associations.
Yeah, so if you establish, you know, there's a woods that are hunting grounds, and if that's established as hunting grounds over the years, you can't have someone go in and homestead the land in a way that prevents people from using it the way that it that use has been established.
Right.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because you can't just go, this land is mine, and claim it without really, you know, doing anything to improve it, or, you know, improve it or use it in a way that kind of prevents people from their established uses. And so for something like a road, whether or not it gets kind of dicey, and I don't necessarily know exactly how to. It all depends on so much, but like you have a road or you have a street, that's not a place that's established as a thoroughfare. That's as established mm-hmm. as a place for people to move around, a place for, you know, where businesses are and homes and everything. It's not a place for you to live.
Like, yeah, well, that's like, you know, those protests, like the environmental protests where people sit in the middle of the street. I do not feel bad for them if they get run over or someone drags them out of the street and drives their car right. past. It's like, this is a road and we drive on roads and you're sitting yeah. there.
It's that use has been established and yeah. your protest is violating, you know, the easement or the pre-established use of that yeah. road. But the funny thing is that a lot of times it's the government's there and they're letting it happen. Not right. only they're not letting it happen, they are making it happen because they are actively protecting it.
That's kind of where I was going to go with that scenario, like thinking about, right? Like this is kind of an absurd scenario because of where I live. It just wouldn't happen. Right. It's not like I live in Manhattan. Like the neighbors would come together and be like, this can't have, like, you're gone. Like, first off, I mean, I'm sure the local cops would remove them, but let's say they didn't, like, none of my neighbors want that. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to move you somewhere else. You have to go somewhere else. You can't sit in our street.
Yeah.
And that's why I brought up the protests. Like,
but that's the ironic thing is that. Because there's been a lot of libertarians, and I even made the argument a little bit, is to just take the extreme where it's like, well, if the government seized the land or homesteaded it in a way, not seized it because then there would be a previous owner, but mm-hmm. just mm-hmm. kind of homesteaded the land in a way that is not legitimate, and so it's still the land is still technically unowned, even if you don't want to take the idea that it's the use has been homesteaded as like a road or something, then you can kind of take the extreme example that like, well, the government like shouldn't do anything to prevent someone from using it in a way that doesn't violate someone else's rights. And I think that mindset's actually like mostly on the right track because you can just say, well, people can use the land however they want to, as long as they're not violating someone's rights or the pre-established uses of that mm-hmm. land. But the funny thing is that, you know, the bordertarians, the travel socialists are trying to rip on us for saying, oh, well, you know, it's got to be done however people can use it however they want or whatever. They say, no, we need the state to come in and enforce stuff, and then you have practical examples of having a state with public land or common land and stuff, and it's the state's not acting in the way that these people want the state to act. And so that's why I think it's such a failed approach, is because it's the state and they're mm-hmm. always going to do the stupid terrible thing. It's not going to work for you. It's a recipe for disaster. It's going to blow up in your face.
Hmm.
So it's just funny to me.
Yeah.
You think they can, you know, maintain the ring of power?
It's kind of funny. I wonder, like, yeah, I don't know. Like, what do you think? I don't actually know anything, so I should probably not comment, but are most of the illegals Mexican or are they from Central and South America?
I don't know.
The illegals on the southern border.
I don't know.
Because I don't even think they're really Mexicans. I think like Mexico, I don't know.
Well, that's the thing too. It's not necessarily just like this really obvious, straightforward issue. And neither is immigration policy for the entire existence of the U.S. It gets romanticized and it's annoying because people are like, back in the day, you know, you didn't have all these problems. And yeah, we had our borders wide open and everybody could come in and things worked out. It's just, that's not at all how it ever worked.
Right.
There are always restrictions on the border. People did not get along well with the new people coming in. All sorts of problems, but. And you know what's funny is that all these, bordertarians or people that are talking about, I guess like the post-libertarians talking about how, oh, libertarianism is a failure and so you have to just like seize power. Well, Bitcoin is, you know, only a couple bucks away from its all-time high. And have these people, the ones I just mentioned, have they been accumulating Bitcoin so that, you know, if they've been doing it for as long as we've been on zero, yeah, they accumulated a lot of Bitcoin at a low price, and now the price is up by, you know, about a factor of four from the low over the last 2 years. You did pretty well. And maybe if they, you know, had a decent amount of wealth, maybe they could, you know, just like start buying elections and getting in their way. The ironic thing is I feel like it's probably the immigrants that have been buying more Bitcoin than these guys because they have a really good use for it for like remittances and stuff, because it's actually a lot cheaper and a lot faster and a lot better to send your money back home with Bitcoin than the fiat system. So it's kind of going to be funny if the immigrants and these people and poor people that are using Bitcoin kind of, we have the flippening with wealth. Not that I think that the post-libertarians are all that wealthy anyway. They just kind of talk the big game and complain and argue on the internet without actually doing anything practical. But I think it'll be funny if that happens. And that brings me to another thing about goofiness about how to like look at stuff. And all right, so we had Nayib Bukele becomes the was the president of El Salvador and institutes the Bitcoin legal tender laws and stuff. And you know, we talked about it when it first started, and saying things like, "Hey, this is obviously really great. This means that Bitcoin's working." Now we don't like that he's making it legal tender. In the sense that like there were certain rules where you had to, people like had to accept Bitcoin. They legally had to accept Bitcoin. From everything I've, and we kind of said like, that sounds like a really impractical law to enforce.
Mm-hmm.
And from everything I've heard, there's been like not really any crackdowns on businesses that don't really accept Bitcoin, which is good. But because you don't want to force good ideas on people, just let them adopt it on their own. But by every metric, or most metrics at least, it's like he's, you know, El Salvador's doing pretty well. I mean, they bought a bunch of Bitcoin and they're mining it now, and so their wealth is appreciating. The country's getting better. And do I agree with everything Bukele's done and how he's done it? Like, I haven't been super closely following everything, but for the most part, I mean, it seems like it's moving in a pretty good direction. I mean, I'm an anarchist, so I don't want government doing stuff, but, you know, if we're talking about this, the second best thing, like we were before, loosening regulations, and paving a way for Bitcoin to kind of be more important in your economy is a really good thing. So it's tying it back into the immigration stuff and arguing about that. It's kind of goofy and funny. The people are freaking out and saying that, like, well, this is, you know, we have a government. And so how do we handle having a government? How should it act? What should we do? And there's just like, it's in action right now in several countries of what you should be looking at and wanting to do. But in the meantime, we're just talking about things that are never going to be a thing. Like, the people are acting like the immigration and border issues. It's like Joe Biden sitting there in the Oval Office just on pins and needles, reading tweets back and forth from both sides, being like, ah, whatever the libertarians decide in the next, you know, couple of days, that's, are we going to manage the borders, or are we going to have just completely free and open borders? Oh, what are we going to do? Yeah. Can't wait to see what the libertarians decide.
Yeah, the reality is there is not going to be any change to anything.
No.
Or they'll say there is, but there isn't, but, you know. It's just like there's all right. Like what the Republicans always whine about is there's laws on the books. Mm-hmm. It's like, how's that going then?
Yeah. And then the other one that people are, you know, complaining about and can't ever, it's just this, there are just people that are so cynical that they always just, everything's bad. And so it makes them, I guess, seem smart because they're, oh, well, everyone's celebrating this. I'm showing you how this is so bad. And it's going to be bad, and it's bad, and it's bad, and oh, you stupid simpletons thinking this is going to be good is Javier Milei in Argentina. It's, you know, he started cutting a lot of stuff. He's actually delivering on the promises that he had when he was running, and he's just like really destroying the federal government in Argentina from within, including most recently, and I think this is hilarious and great, but anyone who inflates the money supply, they go to prison.
Nah,
he basically made inflation illegal. which I think is not an incorrect libertarian position to have, because it's stealing.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be considered a crime. And you just have a bunch of people out there saying, oh, just wait, he's gonna show his true colors and be just terrible, just you wait. And meanwhile, he just keeps, like, it would really be a bold move by whatever powers or interests to say, like, yeah, we're gonna just like destroy everything that we have and then somehow come in and swoop in at the last second and make it just totally in the opposite direction. I think it's mostly because Milei, how do you say his name?
I don't know. I think Milei is the massacre, though.
Oh, yeah, that's why I want to say that. But he's Jewish, and he's kind of like, ooh, gives lip service to Israel and that kind of stuff, which isn't good. That he's kind of a supporter of the Israeli government, but whatever. I mean, you can judge that on its own, but people are just using that as a lens for every single thing that they look at.
Well,
he's wrong about Israel. So he's just, this is all just a bait and switch and this real roundabout conspiracy thing that he's just going to, after he just entirely guts the federal government and makes the power of the feds in Argentina go away, then he's going to make the government huge, which I just don't understand how that's supposed to make sense.
Yeah, I don't know.
The other one, and it's funny because I saw this Twitter thread the other day of someone criticizing Michael Saylor of MicroStrategy because he, and this happens every once in a while, and it happens in Bitcoin a bunch. With any sort of Bitcoin company, any it's mostly from the privacy people. And not privacy people, because that's not necessarily fair. The privacy LARPers who think that they're super secret agents. A lot of the Monero guys and stuff. But Michael Saylor will say something like, you know, compliance is important. And they go, oh, so he's cucking to the state. Or, you know, a Bitcoin company, like a major exchange has KYC. And they go, oh, they're bowing down to the state. And it's just annoying because it's like, okay, what would you do? Yeah, we all hate the state. We think it's illegitimate. But it's there. It exists. What would you do if you ran a big Bitcoin exchange? You're going to die on this sword. You're going to, you know, get arrested for everybody else, or because you're going to say, you know what, federal government, I'm just going to ignore all your rules and everything and just flaunt the laws and regulations and operate the way I want to.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go to jail, and you might make some of your customers go to jail too. It's just not that good of a strategy. It's like that they want these businesses to be like, well, if we can't do it the way that's, you know, ideologically pure, then we're not going to do it at all. So we just have like no Bitcoin exchanges. Like, doesn't seem like that great of a strategy. And then the same goes with, you know, people criticizing Michael Saylor as he talks about government regulation and stuff, and interacting with these institutions and organizations. Oh, look, he's cocking it. And most recently, there was someone saying that Michael Saylor isn't actually a Bitcoin maximalist. He's actually a fiat maximalist, and somehow everything he's doing is going to, he's just playing all of us so that somehow this is a move to accumulate all the Bitcoin, but then use it to make fiat exist longer.
Nice.
It's weird. Like, meanwhile, MicroStrategy just came out today. Did you see that? That they're doing some sort of, what is it? Let me pull up the thing. MicroStrategy announces proposed private offering of $600 million of convertible senior notes. So Michael Saylor is leveraging his publicly traded company to buy presumably $600 million more dollars of Bitcoin. The dude's been consistently just accumulating. But he says, oh, you know what, we have to figure out how we're going to comply with government regulations. And it's, oh, this must be all just this conspiracy to just turn everything around and capture Bitcoin. And I don't know. It's like these people between Bukele, Saylor, and Milei. It's just this weird cynicism that I think people are comfortable with losing. And so when there's something good out there, they would rather just continue losing and rather can. Well, I think it's also just being what's it called when you're against everybody else. The contrarian stuff. Oh, you like this? Well, I'm against it, and here's why. This is bad. It's just goofy. Like, what do these people think Michael Saylor should do? He's running a publicly traded company, and he's buying lots of Bitcoin. He is potentially putting just the most enormous target on his own back and his own company's back. And you think the solution is for him to say, you know what, federal government? Come try me. Come at me, bro. Stupid. And it's so easy for you to just be like a dude on the internet with an Anon account. And there's nothing wrong with anonymous accounts or pseudonymous on the internet. To be like with no actual skin in the game. And these people probably only have like a couple thousand dollars worth of Bitcoin. And act like that they're just. Michael Saylor is such a clown because he's complying with government regulations. The other thing, too, remember back in the day, a couple of years ago, Michael Saylor was doing that like mining council thing.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was the same mining council, but that council went up against the federal government that was trying to shut down a bunch of mining in Texas, Bitcoin mining in Texas. And this mining council, like, took them to court.
Yeah,
won.
To the government system.
They won. So, like, won in a big way. Like, the court is saying that, like, the government has to just, like, not only were they wrong to do it, they have to delete all of their evidence. Now, whether they actually do that or not is another, you know, another story, but... That's a pretty good precedence, at least. And yeah. Do you think that would have happened if it was just like, if there was no kind of businesses kind of getting together and trying to figure out what's going on and trying to have some influence? But that was like so heavily criticized when it started. And I don't know if it was the same organization, but the point still stands. It's the same kind of thing. Trade organizations are good. They can be perverted and everything, but this I think is a really good example of a guy who knows what he's doing and really smart and really savvy. And, you know, now everyone's, you know, praising and celebrating that the federal government got smacked down, but are people going to give credit where it's due? And, you know, are people going to continue to see these wins in a positive direction for Bitcoin and humanity and still say, well, actually, Michael Saylor's a bitch. Just you wait. He's going to do something really, really bad. And maybe he does. But, like, you have to have good reasons for predicting something. And not just... being cynical. So one of my favorite quotes ever was from Ren Stimpy from the great Wilbur Cobb. So you want to be a genius? It's easy. Just say everything stinks. That way you're never wrong. That's how much of a genius I am. But it seems like people actually think that. To just be a contrarian, just say that everybody else is stupid and that makes you the smart guy or something. I don't know.
I mean, it is the safe way to go. Like, watch the NFL draft and just say all the top 15 are going to be a bust. You're going to be right 8 or 9 times.
Oh, yeah. Then you can say, yep, I was right.
Like,
I was right.
Think of how many quarterbacks are still in the league that were in the league 10 years ago. It's a handful, but only that. If you pretty much say every quarterback is terrible, you're going to be right.
That was like my brother used to say, like in the beginning of the season, like for the Eagles, I don't think the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl this year. It's like, and then when they don't, be like, I knew it. It's like, wow, thanks, dude.
Yeah.
Like you could say that about any team.
Yeah.
It's easy to pick a team out of 30 and say they're not going to win. All right, who do you think is going to win? You know?
No, I know which team's not going to win, and that's what I'm going with.
Right. How about you pick – how many – no, there's 32 NFL teams, right?
Yeah.
How about you pick 31 teams that aren't going to win the Super Bowl?
Yeah. See how good you are now.
Yeah.
And then, well, you'll be close because your team's going to be in the Super Bowl.
Right. It's tiresome. Like people are just very prideful And oh, that's the other thing I wanted to say too, is that a lot of the Bordertarian types kind of claim a Christian, they claim Christianity too. And there's been like a lot of these kind of scenarios laid out of like, if you had to do this, would you do this thing? Like, here's an extreme example. I'm not like accusing anyone of thinking this, except for the guy that actually wrote it. And I can't believe that, although it's the internet, I should expect this kind of stuff. But the question was posed of like, if the human race was gonna, you know, die off or something, is it okay to like rape women to keep the human race going? And there's someone being like, yeah, we should. And it's like, that's a very extreme example, but it's the same kind of utilitarian ideas out there that like, well, for the overall good, we need to do this bad thing, or we need to violate someone's rights to do this, to prevent this greater bad thing from happening. Because there's this like obsession of trying to have Earth be like this, have this perfect place and solution for it, where it's like, hey people, Earth as it is now is flawed, it's sinful, there's evil afoot, and we as humans just don't have the capacity to totally overcome it all. Like, what you're working for, your goals, kind of what your aim is, should not be earthly things. If you're that guy, if you know, you're someone that says like, I should you do this terrible thing to prevent something else from happening, or to try to bring about this good thing, and then right after you do it, you die and you're standing in front of God, are you going to be like, oh yeah, I stand by that. I stand by doing a really terrible thing that was obviously something that anyone who has any semblance of religion would say is sinful? You think that's a good idea? Like, what are you working towards? Like, what's the most important thing? And that's why, like, principle and truth are important, because it steers you in a certain direction and doesn't make you start to justify doing weird and bad things in order to try to bring about some, like, utopian ideas or something that you think you can solve every single problem. Guess what? You can't. Part of the problem is with the way the world has fallen is that someone might break into my house in 3 seconds and shoot me in the face. They shouldn't do it. It's wrong. It's wrong by anyone's metrics, but it might happen. Like, okay. It is what it is. Doesn't mean I get to go around and in order to prevent that, I don't know, shoot anyone that I see someone coming on my property that I don't know who it is. Wasn't explicitly invited. But like, it's almost, remember when Obama was president and everyone was going to bell on about his religion and like his belief in collective salvation?
Mm-hmm.
But that's what this feels like. It's like, oh, we all have to be in this together, and it's about, you know, how we structure society to make some like perfect society or something. And we'll do these bad things. We gotta put our fingers to our noses. It's not the greatest thing, but hey, we're doing, we think we can manage doing evil to bring about good. Like, that's so prideful and just so obviously incorrect. But people don't notice that. You know, they want to play God. That's just not really workable. I mean, how many stories out there, like, tell tell that story. You try to control everything. You try to control things in a way you shouldn't control them, and it ends up spiraling out of control. But I guess I'm done my rants.
Yeah, I don't know. if people want to start claiming Christianity and accidentally start learning about it, I'm okay with it.
Oh, no, it's good. It's good that people are moving in that direction, but like it just shows how, you know, you can't just claim the title of being a Christian and think that you now have right, you know, whatever you do is righteous.
Yeah.
You have
I
to.
Mean, I know what you mean.
Yeah, because a lot of it's, and we talked about this before, is that it seems like, and I don't want to necessarily accuse anyone, but I'll say what it looks like is that people were picking up Christianity because it was basically the opposite. It was a reaction against the leftists and stuff. It's like, well, they don't like Christians. Well, I'm going to be a Christian then, and then I can use this as a bludgeon against my enemies. It's like, ooh, it's not the way it works. Be careful. And, you know, there's with that and people, you know, pontificating about their Christianity, is you can lead a lot of people down the wrong path in the name of God or Christianity or something. And so that's also really not good. So try to have some humility about stuff. And if your use of Christianity is more about showing other people how wrong they are and not about humbling yourself and realizing your own sinful ways and all the problems that you have that need correcting, then you're probably doing it wrong. And it's hard. But, you know, what do you expect? What's the point of it if it's easy? Okay, well, before I tangent off again in 18,000 directions, do you have anything else you want to add, Slappy? You want to wrap this up?
We can wrap it up.
All right. Well, show notes page for this episode will be mcflugel.com/3399. And, man, milestone next week, Slappy, episode 400.
All right. We made it.
Yeah, we'll have to think of something special to do. We'll probably be talking about Bitcoin blasting past the all-time high.
Yeah, I mean, that's
just under right now.
If that's been the trend, it seems.
You know, it's great now. I don't know what people are going to do. They're not going to, when I disagree with them on Twitter, they're not going to be able to click on my profile, see that it's about Bitcoin, and then say like, oh, go have fun with your Bitcoin. Because I'll just reply, thanks, I am.
Yeah, I will. Sure.
So, all right. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Peace.